like to thank everybody for coming. I guess this week's topic is a little bit heavy. I don't know if you really we'll talk about giving up your life to Judaism with coffee and Krispy Kremes. So, this morning's topic, I thought of based on a famous medrash that Rashi brings down this week's parsha. We read that seemingly a harmless pasuk, the Torah talks about Vayamas Haran Apnei Terach Aviv, that Haran died literally on the face of his father, Terach, which simply pasuk means that Haran died within the lifetime of his father, Terach. But the Medrash reports there was much more going on. It's a famous story that Avram Avinu himself at a young age, Chlokas actually, but Avram Avinu came to recognize that there's a creator in this world, came to recognize God, and it bothered him that everyone in the world, his own parents, his own family included, believed in idolatry. And the famous story, which people know as kids, but it's a true story, not just a fable, how Avram Avinu one day was put in charge of his father's idol shop, and he made a big mess, and he blamed it on the idol. And he used that as a springboard to show the weakness in the arguments of idolatry. And because of that, it's pretty fascinating. You know, his father, Terach, was tremendously committed to the idolatry, the ideology of idolatry. And he took him to Nimrod, who was then the leader of the generation, and ready to be killed. Right? That's Avram Avinu's own father is sort of doing, from his perspective in Akedah, a sacrificing of his son. So Avram Avinu was given the choice to, you want to renege on your philosophy and your ideas? Avram Avinu said no, and they threw him into this fiery furnace, which amazingly he emerged unscathed. His brother Haran was watching this whole thing transpire. So he was debating, what should I do? So he figured, look, I'll hedge my bets. If my brother comes out, I'm with him. Otherwise, I'm with Pop. That's not as committed as Avram Avinu. And he did take the move to go in the fiery furnace. Unfortunately, he did not emerge. But you do see from this whole story, which Mefarshim do ask, why isn't such an amazing act of, literally ready to die at the stake is not mentioned inside the Chumash. Chumash only mentions certain things. It doesn't mention everything. It doesn't mention clearly this aspect of Avram Avinu. It only hints to it this past week's parsha. But either way, the concept of what Avram Avinu did, he was ready to give up his life, to die at the stake, for his religion, is obviously a high, lofty madrega, a level, and it's quite amazing that Avram Avinu reached such a level by himself. What I would like to go through today is the basis of this concept of martyrdom, the mitzvah of martyrdom. We know throughout the ages, Avram Avinu was the first and perhaps gave over those spiritual genes to his descendants. And unfortunately, we know, I don't want to put a number on it, thousands, millions of Jews throughout the ages, literally all over the world, have been tested with such tests. And thankfully, many of them, pass what you call the ultimate test, and are ready to give up their lives for their religion. So today I'd like to go through this topic in depth, this mitzvah of martyrdom, the halacha of Yaver, of Yahari Val Yaver. So that's today's topic. Definitely very interesting. So let us begin with this Gemara in Sanhedrin. This Gemara in Sanhedrin is the source of everything and very insightful. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzadok. Right, it's towards the second half of the first sheet. I'll read a little bit from the top. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Ben Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzadok. Nimnu Vigamru Baalios Beis Nitza Belud. Seems the rabbis got together, rabbinic conference near the airport, and they were debating how far does a person have to go in terms of mitzvahs. So they came out with the following conclusion. Kol aver shebetorah, any transgression in the Torah, im omrim la'adam avar v'al taharek, if the Torah says, if someone threatens you and says, you transgress this sin, or I'll kill you. Yavar of al yaharug. You should transgress it and not be killed. Chutz me'avodos kachavim, the gilarayos of shrichos davim. Except for three clauses, three cardinal sins. Worshipping idols, gilarayos, transgressing illicit relationships, and shvikos dam, and killing somebody. So the Gemara over here is saying that the rabbis got together and they figured out that every mitzvah in the Torah, that if your life is at stake, you could transgress that. Except for three cardinal sins. So you just told me four halachas. Right? One halacha with three exceptions. The Gemara doesn't clearly state what's the source for any mitzvah in the Torah aside from the three cardinal sins I can give my life. The Gemara does not clearly bring a pasuk. Right? This halacha means someone puts a gun to your head and says, transgress Shabbos, if not, I'll kill you. The halacha is you should transgress Shabbos. There's Gemara. Where does that come from? The Gemara doesn't clearly state, but if you look at Rashi, parallel to what we just read, Rashi writes, a pasuk v'chai b'hem. Torah says, when it comes to mitzvos, you should live with them. V'lo sheyamos b'hem, but you shouldn't die from them. So Rashi says clearly here, the source is v'chai behem. There's a directive that a person should not give up his life for just any mitzvah of the Torah. It's better to transgress it and stay alive. That way you're following what the Torah is telling you, directing you. That's what you should do. We'll see a little bit later, that may not be so pasha, that's the only source. The Gemara then goes through, I'll continue from where we're up to, a shita that we don't hold of. I'll put it out there because it's very important. The Gemara says, hey, you're not allowed to transgress Avodah Zarah? V'hatanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa? Amar Rabbi Shmuel, minayin shemamar lo adam. Where do we know that someone tells you, avar avodos chachavim al taharik, transgress a religion, your belief in God will kill you. From where do we know that you should transgress it and save your life? So right here, Rabbi Shmuel takes this pasuk v'chai behem and says it doesn't just apply to 610 mitzvos, it really applies to 611. This would apply even to Avodah Zarah. Even to a person transgressing his religion, his belief in God, you would be allowed to save your skin. The Gemara continues, Yachal afilo b'farhesya. So then maybe you could do that even in the public square. To that, the Gemara says, no, Tamalomar, v'lo sechal l'shem kodshi v'nikdashti. You should not profane my name. V'nikdashti, you should make me holy. So very interesting. This Gemara starts off, hey, you're telling me the three cardinal sins. It doesn't seem that v'lo chahavim is a cardinal sin. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says that you could worship a different God, quote unquote, to save your skin. You just can't do that publicly because of this idea of a nikdashti, that you have to sanctify Hashem's name. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Inu da'amri, all of these rabbis who said that Avodah Zarah is part of the big three, Kira Belazar, the Tani Belazar Omer, V'yahavtas Hashem Alakecha, V'chol Lovavcha, V'chol Nafshecha. And the Gemara goes on to learn from this famous pasuk. One has to love Hashem with all his heart, V'chol Nafshecha, with all your soul. But the darsh of V'chol Nafshecha means even if you have to give up your soul. V'yahavtas Hashem Alakecha. Our Chazal understand this pasuk talking about Avodah Zarah. You should love Hashem and not turn to anything besides your belief in God. B'chol nafshecha, even if it means taking your soul. So that is halacha l'maaseh, the way we paskin. We paskin like Rav Elazar Shita. It's interesting, though, to see here, you know, Rabbi Shmuel did use the pasuk v'chai b'hem even for Avodah Zarah. But he wouldn't go as far, and really, we'll see a little bit later, there's a fourth clause. When we say there are three cardinal sins, there should be an asterisk after that. It's not true. There really are 613 cardinal sins. Any mitzvah in the Torah, if it was in a situation where it's done to spite the Jewish religion, if it's done publicly, or if it's done at a time when the Goyim are testing the Jews, then really any mitzvah in the Torah one would have to give up their life for. That's all derived from this pasuk, Lo sechal l'shem kodshi v'nikdashti. The Gemara spells that out a little bit later, but you already see it in the pasuk now. So far, again, it's four halachas that number one, I know they like to share, but this is like, you know, heavy topics. So, the first halacha, is that by most mitzvahs, a person could give up their life. By three cardinal sins, you can't. And we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Shmuel, that applies to Avodah Zarah. And we're just setting up, and there's going to be a fourth clause. Anything which is a chilul Hashem done in the public square or done specifically to spite one's religion. That is so far what the Gemara says. So the Gemara gives us a source for Avodah Zarah. It's interesting. Gilui Arayos, the Gemara goes on to say, there's no direct source, but there's what you call a hekesh. Hekesh means where the Torah itself made a connection between two mitzvos. Chazal learn halakas from one mitzvah to the other. So there's a hekish between Gilui Arayos, a list of relationships, and Ritzicha and killing. And just like by Ritzicha, there's a Dilui Harvayavar. That's why there's a bridge we connect that Gilui Arayos also has a Dilui Harvayavar. So we know the source of Avodah Zarah, we know the source for Gilui Arayos. Okay, the big question. So what's the source of Ritzicha? How do I know if someone puts a gun to my head, I'm going to shoot you unless you kill somebody else, that you can't transgress that? What's the source for that? Because really, this is a big source. It's going to teach us Ritzicha, and that's also really going to be the source that we're going to transfer over to Gilui Arayos. So what's the source? Where in the Torah does it say it? Fascinating Gemara. If you look, I made a little bit of, it's like eight lines from the bottom. I made a little comma before that. about 8 lines from the bottom, the Gemara asks, Ritzeach Gufa Menolon. Where do I know Ritzicha from? The Gemara answers, Svarahu. There is no pasuk in the Torah. You can't trace this back to any pasuk in the Torah telling you you have to give up your life for the Avera of Ritzicha. Rather, it's pure logic. Imagine that. Person has to be ready to give up his life. There's no directive in the Torah telling you, no pasuk telling you, but it's something we consider better than a pasuk. There's a logic over here that says I have to do that, the rabbis say, and you have to follow it, follow the logic, even to death. What's the logic? Tahud also bekami de rabba, v'amrle, amrle midi deroi. Some guy said to me, zil katlo planya, go kill this guy, v'lo katlian loch. And if not, I'm going to kill you. So Amar Lay, so he was instructed, look, let him kill you. Lo titul, lo tikato, but you shouldn't kill. Why? Mi yemar didamar didach samachtfei. How do you know that your blood is redder? Dilma damadahu gavra samachtfei. Maybe his blood is redder. The Gemara seems to say over here a simple svara. What right do you have to go and kill somebody? You're going to kill somebody to save your own skin? What makes you better than him? Therefore, you have no right to do it. Therefore, you have to be ready to be killed. Yahar v'yavar. Amazing. Now, this idea of Yahag Vayav over here, we'll see that the Rishonim give exceptions to. They give a big, broad exception to that, which we'll see in a moment. But it's just fascinating that a person would have to give up their life. There's no pasuk. The Gemara just relies on, there's a svar, there's a logic. And this logic, you know, I hear logic, but how far does it go? How do you understand it? So we'll get back to that in a second. Just one more step that's important. The Gemara a little bit later asks about Esther. How was Esther allowed to be with Ahasuerus? The Gemara challenges it under the fourth clause. Gemara says she's doing an Avera. She's being with a Gentile. Especially, you know, if you say Esther is married, maybe you've taken it on Esther. She wasn't married. But, and seemingly that's something you have to give up your life for. We said any Avera in the Torah, if it's done publicly, it's a Chil Hashem, you have to give up your life. Or it happens to give two answers, but I want to focus on the second answer. The Gemara gives an answer. Rava says, it's at the end of the little second piece there, Hanos Atzmo Shani. Important idea. If the reason why the person is threatening your life because they want you to transgress the Avera, it's not because they want to show up religion in any way. They're doing it for their own pure benefit. Ahasuerus is with Esther not because of anything about the Jewish religion. He didn't know she was Jewish. He's doing it for his own pleasure. Rava says, if that's the reason why they want you to do the Avera, because they are getting benefit out of it, they're getting pleasure out of it, then for that you don't have to give up your life. Anos Atzmo Shani. That's what Rava says. And also this is brought down in the Halacha. Paskim like that. So, again, it emerges from this Gemara. We could step away from this Gemara for the meantime. That, I guess, Sacha called this five halachas. For all mitzvahs in the Torah, simply Rashi says, v'chai behem, that you're supposed to sustain your life and transgress an avera. Obviously, it'll be hard to eat treif. It'll be hard to mechal Shabbos. But if that means saving your life, Pashtos in the Gemara, that's what one should do. But if the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, and Shvichas Damim, there a person has to stand his ground as Yahar Valyavar. And there's a fourth category, the clause of Farhesya, of an Avera done in public, which could be a Chil Hashem, there that would apply to any Avera. The Gemara goes as far as even saying, doesn't even have to be a Deraisa, it could be a small little thing. And this has been applied by different sages over the ages to, you know, not necessarily the biggest of mitzvahs, to Rabbanans, other cases, to different machlokas and how far it goes. Perhaps we'll see. But there's an escape clause that if it was anas atzmo, if the threat came about because the person was doing it for their own benefit, then it doesn't apply. Okay. In discussing the idea of Ritzicha, which really, as we said, connects back to Gilei Raos too, because those two are connected. Tosas brings up, also discussing Esther, but really other cases too, another idea. We said, what's the reason why you can't kill your friend? Because how do you know your blood is thicker than his? Tosas says, okay, so that means, look, I don't know who's better. If I'm better, I don't know if you're better. How can you go and kill him? Tosas understands that would be, the logic exists that you have no right to do an action and go and kill somebody else to save yourself. But Tosas says if it's something that he defines called karka ola, it's something which you're being passive. You, I guess, the Jew who's being victimized, you're being passive in the transgression of that avera. In such a case, Tosa says you would not have to give up your life. One case which is definitely clearer to hear, that's where Tosa talks about application. He would say, by a woman in illicit relationships. Tosas makes a differentiation between a man's role in an illicit relationship and a woman's role. The man's act is more active. A woman by nature is more passive. And since the woman is passive, she could be defined as karka olam, literally the ground of the earth, where you're not actively involved in doing an action. And you know what? For that, she doesn't have to give up her life. Tosas has a parallel case. Really, the source of this would be by a case of Ritzicha. Let's say someone comes to another person, puts a gun to his head, says, I'm going to kill you unless you allow me to use you as a dead weight to throw you on somebody else and kill that other person. So there, one's body, he is being involved in a ritzicha, in the killing of somebody, but he wasn't doing an action. He was being passive. Tosa says in that type of case of killing, one wouldn't have to give up their life. I was trying to think of additional parallel cases. I came up with a little bit of a case, which unfortunately probably could happen. You know, let's say you have a case, you know, nowadays, you know, thank God there's love, you know, security, all different types of buildings, because people know there could be terrorism, there could be problems. You know, and a lot of times, look, unless you have the key card, unless you have your ID, your voice scanner, this, you know, your face scanner, hand scanner, you can't get in. So let's say you have a terrorist, you have some guy who wants to go and kill people. Let's make it simple. Don't make it one life versus multiple lives, because that's a different discussion. But let's say a guy's going after one person who works in one office building. He comes to you, he knows you have access. He's like, I'm going to kill you unless you come with me and get me into this building so I can kill that person. Now there's still one level less, because he's not using you in the actual act of killing. It's only the prelude to killing. But Tosas would say in such a case, you're not actively killing the person. One doesn't have to risk his life for that.
No, you're doing action there. Your mom is doing action.
What's the action?
I didn't put on her bush. action.
I mean, because I'm using my pass.
Yeah, you're doing an action.
Let's say he lifts up your hand. He takes you with him. He lifts up your hand on the sensor. Now it has your fingerprint.
So now it's like you're like the guy that got pushed on. You're walking with the guy and swiping,
following.
You're doing it.
So you would say that's killing the person. See, it's still not, I ain't pull a trigger there.
Yeah, you are doing an action.
Right. In a certain sense, you could say that's worse than Tosis' case. That's what you're trying to argue. It's worse than Tosis' case.
It's somewhere in between.
Because I am doing an action. I'm sort of going with them.
You are doing an action.
I hear that. Even in Tosis' case, of where they're throwing you on the other person, you could have said no. Some of you showed them talk about a case of where either way, it doesn't really matter. If you say no, they're just going to do it anyway. They'll shoot you and throw your dead body on the person and kill them. That's a real dead weight. But, okay, so I'm not sure. I hear. Yes?
What if it's simply a body part, for example, a finger for a finger scanner, and the guy is holding the gun to you and says, either you'll come with me and use your finger to open the door, or I'm going to cut your finger off and take it to myself.
Interesting.
It's right. Not your life, but it's still your limb.
Right. Interesting. Right. Yaharik v'al-yavar. Yeah. Pashup shot is right. It just cutting off a finger, painful, but that's not the din of Yaharik v'al-yavar. Now, you don't have to do that seemingly for a mitzvah. Right. What's the pshat in that? Everything is connected. Not simple. I hear. So, these are definitely interesting, fascinating case. I was trying to think of others. So, okay, perhaps Josh, I like your point. But I still hear it. It's still passive to me. I'm not really involved in actively killing. He takes me, I wanted to make the case where I was still there. Let's say he steals my badge. Right? I'll shoot you unless you give me your badge. Okay. So, these cases do exist. Tosus comes across that you have a heter, and we'll talk later. That's one of the topics I want to further discuss. What about, even if there's a heter to save your life, could you be machmer? Could be a firmi in these areas? It's a good time to tell a good joke. There is, briskers are known for their allegiance to halacha, to every little detail. So, one time, a Gentile came to a brisker and says, "Your religion or your life?" So, "Yes! I've been waiting for this my whole life! My religion!"
Wasn't Jack Benny?
No. So, he asked, though, for one request. "Can I make a bracha, though? Give me a minute before he killed me." Sure. So he puts on his hat and jacket and with tremendous fervor gets up there and Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sheikh Yishalom, and Zosef Yitzivanu, Al Kiddush Hashem. Now the Gentile is about to kill him. Never saw a guy like this before. Boy, this guy committed to his religion. And he's like sitting there. "Should I shoot this guy?" So the brisker turns to him and says, "No! Hefsik! Right. Make a bracha, you gotta do it right away." So there are cases.
This is
an inside joke. Right. So we'll get to Reb Chaim Brisker's shot in a moment. But we are gonna talk about cases if the halacha is you're allowed to transgress. Is there room for a person to possibly be machmer, put yourself out there, to die? So this heter, which Tosas says beferish, the seferish in Tosas Sanhedrin, Tosas in Yuma, Tosas in Yivamos, Tosas says it's multiple spots. Reb Chaim Brisker just has a very simple diak. When the Rambam codifies these halachas, he doesn't bring down that clause or that exception. He doesn't say that by a case of Ritzicha or a case of Gilai Rayos, If it was karka olam, if it was passive, then you're off the hook. He doesn't say that. The fact the Rambam left it out, Chaim Brisker and others want to be medayik, it must be that one is responsible to give up his life, even where they're killing, or even where they're committing adultery or other transgressions, illicit transgressions, where they're not involved in doing any action. That's how far Yaharik Valyavar goes. It applies even in the case of where one is passive. So Chaim Brisker struggles. So what exactly then is this dispute? How do you understand this dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam? So I'll tell you Reb Chaim Brisker's idea, but then I'll tell you, for the guys in my share, I didn't say this one over in share yet. I'll tell you one little addition that I have. Yeah, yeah. The Gemara says that, though, by Farhesia. The Gemara doesn't say that by Gilad Riles. There's a lot of discussion on that. Now, the idea that Reb Chaim Brisker wants to say, what's the basis of this machlokas, whether you have a heter for karka olam or not? So he says it's pinned on what is really the svara of you have no right to kill somebody by Ritzicha. Mi yemer de dama didach samach tfei. Who says your blood is redder? Maybe someone else's blood is redder. Tosus looks at it. Look, we don't know who's better. Right? We don't know who to choose. I'm better than you. You're better than me. There's one life raft left on the plane. What do you do? Not so simple. That was another Gemara. We could talk about that a different day. Two guys in the desert. But what do you do? So, Tosfos as far as you have to be passive. You have no right to actively make a decision that you're better than someone else. And you know what that means? It means even if you have to take a bullet. But if the action that you're doing itself is a passive action, I'm being thrown on another person. My identity is being taken to kill another person. So then you're allowed to be passive. Let the course run its way, you know? Because Baruch could make a nace and the person could be saved too. I don't have to actively stand up in that case and say, no, no, shoot me. That's Tosfos' svar. So I'll talk about that. Excellent point. I'll talk about that.
Maybe the Rav Hashem is for you to get involved.
Hold on. But, give me 1 second. The Rambam, though, contrasts that. He learns it differently. The Rambam says, look, normally, let's take the broad picture again. Why are you allowed to transgress an Avera everywhere else in the Torah? That's the Torah says, v'chai behem. So v'chai behem, your life supersedes any Avera in the Torah. But when either way, someone's going to die. So we're not weighing your life versus Chil Shabbos. We're weighing your life for someone else's life and an Avera. So Tosfos says, in such a case, you have no right to transgress it. There's no heter. There's no way the Torah undoes that Isser. The Isser is still going to be there. So Reb Chaim explains the Rambam. So either way, whether that Isser is an active Isser or a passive Isser, there's not going to be any heter, any allowance for one to violate that.
But if there's two people versus one person
dying. So I want to talk about that case. Deliberately, and it's a different discussion. Then is one life different than multiple lives? And there are famous tshuvas about, you know, you have a person in a city, they want one guy. We'll kill out the whole city unless you give me this guy.
They used to happen all the time.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. And there are multiple tshuvas of that through the ages. So I'll just like to add one more step to this Reb Chaim Brisker to make it okay. So I hear it might be two different ways to look at the Svar of the Gemara, but Why did it's really Rashi and the Rambam on one side and Tosfos on the other side? Why did they come to their different conclusions? So I found a very interesting idea. Like I mentioned before, the Chai Behem being the source of this, it's something which the Rambam writes. By every mitzvah in the Torah, you have the right to defend yourself, to sustain yourself. But the Gemara never says that out. And there's room for one to argue, you don't need a pasuk for that. Meaning, I have two starting points, two different perspectives, what the starting point is when it comes to giving up your life versus a mitzvah. Just any mitzvah, any other in the Torah. The Rambam, and it's also the position of Rashi, says there's the reason why I'm allowed to transgress Shabbos to save my life is because the Torah wrote a pasuk v'chai behem. If the Torah did not write a pasuk v'chai behem, I'd have no right to transgress an aver to save my life. And the other psukim the Torah writes, or the other svaras that we have, override that. Meaning we'll have three exceptions to that rule, but the starting point is the Torah is directing you that you're allowed to save your life. Without the Torah directing me to do that, I couldn't do that. However, there's another perspective, and I think that's Tosis's perspective. Whoever told you have to give up your life for any mitzvah in the Torah? Do you really need v'chai behem to say that for any aver in the Torah, I don't have to give up my life? Or why don't you just say simple? I only have to give up my life when the Torah says I have to give up my life. The default setting is not to have to give up my life. Look, when God commands me, I want you to do this mitzvah, even at the fate of death. Okay, then I got to do it. Right? For mitzvah says in the Torah, God doesn't command you have to give it up for do all your money. Look, obviously God wants me to do his mitzvah. Hashem wants us to be mitzvah observant Jews. But show me where in the Torah it says I have to give up my life. When it tells me I have to give up my life, then I have to give up my life. But short of that, there's no responsibility. If you look at it in that second perspective, so there's much more room. Okay, so there's a logic that one has to give up their life for Ritzicha, but how far does that logic go? Maybe it only applies when you're actively doing something, but not when you're passively. So that's one segment I want to deal with today. This is within Gilui Arayos and within Shvichus Damim, there is a heter, there's an exception if you're passive. That's an exception which Tosas holds of. That's not an exception which the Rambam Rashi hold of. I'm sure everyone here knows. Okay, Rabbi, what's the halakha l'maisa? Good question. The Rambam, the halakha doesn't bring it, but I haven't seen tshuvas directly that deal with this question nowadays. I went through preparing for the share, the fascinating sefer, and I've been looking for it for a while in farm stores. No one has it. But you can get it online at HebrewBooks.org. There's a sefer, I just went through the first few pages, it's unbelievable, by this Rav named Ephraim Ashrei. This Rav was a big Talmud of the Kovna Rav, and unfortunately in the Holocaust, he was asked many, many shilas, and he thankfully survived the war, and he had notes that he took. Can you imagine that? In the middle of the Holocaust, literally, from the gates of hell, he's sitting there and writing notes for future reference on all the different questions that Jews asked him, which are really life and death. Do I have to give my life here? Is this din Yahar Vayavar? Is this not Yahar Vayavar? Who comes first? What do you do? And it's a fascinating, fascinating read. To my knowledge, no one's come out with this. It's a multi-volume sefer in Hebrew. It'll be such an amazing work to someone put it out in English. Just go through it. It's amazing. What's it called? Shal Shetshuvos Mimamakim by Ephraim Ashrei. Oshry. You can find it in HebrewBooks.org. But amazing, amazing sefer. So what the Shulchan Aruch does discuss Let's first talk about the Har Vayavar cases, right? Before I get to Shulchan Aruch, I'll quote the Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam on the top of your pages in Os Dalad. The Rambam first says, what does it mean for a person to give up his life for Judaism? The Rambam writes in the second line, L'chol mi shenemar bo yahar v'al yavar. Any case, any situation where the halacha dictates you have to give up your life, v'narag, and he is killed, v'lo avar, hare zeh kiddush Hashem. He sanctified God's name. V'mhaya ba'asara Yisrael, if this was done in front of 10 Jews, the Gemara discusses, farhesion means 10 people, simply 10 Jews, hare zeh kiddush Hashem b'rabu, then he's sanctifying Hashem's name publicly. Kidaniel, Chananya, Mishor, Varzalia, Vukarib Yakiva, Vachaverev. Ram uses very lofty words. A person who does this, he's in good company. He's like Daniel, Chananya, Mishor, Varzalia, Rabbi Akiva, and all his friends. It's a big deal. A Jew, a simple Jew, could have lived his whole life as a simple Jew. But if you died at the stake, you're anything but a simple Jew. And Rambam counts you in the most elite of company. However, I would like to talk about the other side. He quotes a few more psukim after that. Skipping to the second line. What happens, though, if someone doesn't live up to that test? He's faced with the test of Yahar Gval Yavar, and he succumbs. Obviously, we're not here to judge those people. Very tough situation the person's in. But halakhically, how do we view a person who does transgress such a sin? The Rambam says, "V'chol mi shenemar bo yaharig v'al yavar v'avar." It got chopped off a little bit. V'lo narag, harei ze mechal Hashem. So it's a contrast. You desecrated the name of Hashem. V'mhayu ba'asar miYisrael. If it was in front of 10 people, harei chil Hashem b'rabim. Then you desecrated God's name publicly. Ubatul mitzvah saseh, and you undid a yumavatul mitzvah saseh, shekiddush Hashem, v'avar mitzvah lo saseh, shlo chil Hashem. You should not be mechal Hashem Hashem. So the Rambam does say, obviously, if a person transgresses an avera, again, we humans can't judge him, but what's the halacha? Halacha is, yeah, that's the bad thing. It's Chol Hashem. The question through the ages was, unfortunately, you had these cases. How do we treat a Jew who somehow survived, right, who survives, didn't transgress? How do we treat him the rest of his life? And in my research for the share, I came across documented, you know, fascinating stories. In the Rambam's times, it was already where the Islamic fundamentalists in many Middle Eastern countries starting up with the Jews, and they started, you know, threatening them. Okay, either you convert to Islam or we'll kill you. And many Jews, in faced with such a tough choice, you know, didn't live up to it, or they did live on, but they, you know, they transgressed, they accepted it. So there was one Rav, and this, it doesn't say in the stories who it was, who said, look, he's transgressing Avodah Zarah, he's transgressing, he's not part of our religion, and he, that's it. A very, very bad thing. The Rambam, at this time, was a young Talmud Chacham, and he disagreed. Now, I don't want to get into a whole theological discussion today, but the Rambam, within that, it's a famous letter called the Geras Hashmad, that the Rambam wrote. And within that, he talks about whether Islam itself is Avodah Zarah, like perhaps other religions might be. And there he put forth arguments that maybe it's not. And the Rambam said, no, a person like that, you have to treat him, he's still a Jew, and doesn't deserve the tough scorn that this other Rav was putting on him. It's interesting, just the Rambam getting involved in this situation. The government came after him, and he had to go into hiding. Miraculously, he had connections with some Islamic scholar that saved his life. But that, from that point on, the Rambam booked town, and he headed off to, you know, towards Eretz Yisrael. But that's the Geras Hashmat of the Rambam. Practically, what are we paskin? We have these cases. So I found a very interesting tshuva from Moshe Feinstein. If you look at the back of your sheet, in the bottom, Rav Moshe writes, talks about a tshuva, in the tshuva, about a woman and her children that were hiding during the Holocaust in the house of a Gentile. And, you know, there are lots of righteous Gentiles that took in Jews, literally risking their life to save a Jew. And obviously for that itself, you know, they're sure getting their just rewards in the next world. But this particular family decided, they were, I guess, big Christians. This family told the Jews in hiding, we're only going to save you if you convert to be a Christian. And the case happened to be, they didn't bring a galach there, they didn't bring a priest, and he didn't sprinkle in the holy water. But this woman and her kids, you know, faced with death, you know, so okay, I'm ready to convert. And she went with them to church and acted as a Christian during those years. But after the war, she felt bad about that, and she came back into the Jewish community. But the question was, what's her status? Do we view her as somebody that, you know, left religion, did avodah zarah, and now, again, this is Christianity, it's not Islam, so theologically it's different. So Rav Moshe writes very interesting. He's medayik the words of the Rambam that we just read. And he has a very interesting deduction. The Rambam never wrote over here that a person who doesn't live up to it, who's not Yaharig Val Yaver, transgress Gila Rayos Shvichos Damar Avodah Zarah. He doesn't say you transgressed Avodah Zarah. The language of the Rambam is you're Mechal Hashem, which, don't get me wrong, is a big transgression. But it's not that you did Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is the way Moshe understands this Rambam. Look, you were forced. That's not the Avera of Avodah Zarah. And this woman should be granted full communal rights as she's Chozer B'Tshuva and wants to be part of the Jewish community. That's what Moshe writes. Very interesting. So Halacha L'maisa, in a case of where somebody does transgress one of the big three to do, you know, it's a big chiddush, talk of going through the sigya. This is Moshe, not so pashut. But Rav Moshe does seemingly right that, look, the avera they did was chal Hashem. But they didn't necessarily do the avera of Avodah Zarah, and they could be accepted back. That's what he writes there. Now, what about the other extreme? I have a case where the halacha is not to give up one's life. The halacha would be Yaver Val Yaharog. You should violate Shabbos rather than get killed. Is there room to be a frumi? Is there room to be machmir? So, if you look at the Rambam, he actually says this in two spots. Well, funny why he has to repeat himself within a few halachas. If you look at the beginning, the first two lines of Dalet on the first sheet, Komi Shenemabal Yavar Val Yaharod, anytime the halacha dictates one should transgress and not get killed, V'nerag V'lo Avar, but he says, no, I can't violate Shabbos. Hareza mischayev b'nafshal. Rambam uses very strong language. You're responsible for your death. The Rambam takes you to task. If the Torah in this case dictates Yavar Val Yaharav, the Torah dictates V'chai Bahem, you should live, what right do you have then to say, no, shoot me? In that case, the mitzvah is to transgress the Avera. So the Rambam has strong words. If you want to be machmer in such a case, you're playing with your life. You're responsible for your life. That's what the Rambam writes. However, the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in the back, top of the back of the sheets, in Yeridea, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin El Eza Averis Yaharg Val Yavar, it's a simen in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol Averis Shabbatorah, Chutz Me'avodos Kachavim, Gileraz Hashrichos Damen. Any Aver in the Torah except for these three cardinal sins. Im Omrim Lo La'adam Shiyavar Aleim, if a person tells you to violate them, Ol Yaharig, I'll kill you. Imhi Bitsina, if it's privately, there's no Chil Hashem aspect involved, Yavar Al Yaharig, you should transgress them. Vim Yirtze L'Hachmer Ha'atzmo, if the guy wants to be Machmer, the guy wants to get killed, Laharig, Rashoy, you're permitted. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber is bringing down, contrary to the Rambam, that one is allowed to give up their life in a situation where me'ikar hadin, there's no responsibility for you to give up your life. Sounds like the Mechaber holds, different than the Rambam, that no. Anytime there's a situation involved that, hey, a person's asking to transgress something from your religion, you have the right. You're not, you don't have a chiyuv to. The big three, you have to. But here, look, if you want to, you could. And it's interesting. The Rambam looks at the same case and says, you're doing an avera. You're killing yourself. You're supposed to sustain yourself and live. But the Shulchan Aruch has an opposite perspective. He says, no, it's still challenging you to transgress a commandment, and you have the right to let yourself be killed. Very interesting. I'll add two more quick steps. Hold on. The poskim say, so we have a big machlokas here. We have the Rambam and the others who say you're not allowed to do that. And the Shulchan Aruch says you could. Well, who are we paskin like? So Chumash Adeshin says, Safak nefashos lahakal. We have a klal, we have a general rule. Anything involving a person's life, we always are mako on the halacha. We always do anything we can to sustain life. So in such a case, you have machlokas. You should be careful about your life. And you know what? Don't do it. It's interesting, the Shach, right there in the Shulchan Aruch, argues and says you can't apply the principle of Safek Nefashos L'Hakol. Safek Nefashos L'Hakol you apply by any other mitzvah in the Torah, where now all of a sudden it's a question of your life. So we say, okay, be makel. No, worry about yourself first. But the Shach argues, but that's the issue we're debating here. We're dealing in a case of where potentially a person should give up their life. Everything's suspended over here. Dealing with the big Averis or other Averis. So the Shach says the principle of Sovereign Nefashos L'Hakol will not apply. Now that itself is its own discussion. But it's fascinating, you know, how they look at it. So let me just recap quickly.
He's only talking in a case where the guy told you to do it.
Correct.
When it's to be over al-das.
La vie al-das.
The marshal, a standard case, a guy's on Shabbos, he hurts himself. It's because of nefesh. You got to get in the car and go to the hospital. Nobody would tell
you. Oh, no. Oh, time out. Well, that's a very, no. That's a very important clarification. Yes. There is no shiloh whatsoever. Everything we've been discussing today has nothing to do with a case where a person is sick on Shabbos and has to go to the hospital. No, I want to be machmer. There is no tzad in halacha anywhere that you should not go to the hospital. That's wrong. I was not talking about that. What we're talking about today is a case of where there's a threat on a person to transgress an avera. So you're making a to some degree already a religious case. So that situation, so that situation is what we're discussing. And the simple halacha is, if it's not one of the big three, you don't transgress. But there is, here the Shulchan Aruch has a tzad that one potentially could. So again, just to review quickly the cases that we went through today. The halacha is, for all mitzvahs in the Torah, you sustain yourself, you could transgress a mitzvah. Now there's a little bit of discussion for mitzvahs which are Beinam al-Chavero, maybe for a different share, including Malbim Nechaver Barabim. But the average Avera in the Torah, one person should transgress Shabbos, should transgress Shatnez, all these other Averos to sustain oneself. But for the big three, there's a din of Yahar Val Yavar, assuming that those cases is in Yahar Val Yavar. There's the discussion which you talked about from Tosos, that if a person is not actively doing the Avera, he's just passive, he's being thrown on a kid, perhaps giving his identity for the killer to get into a building, I mean, those cases are different. In that case, Tosos might hold, you don't have to give up one's life. We talked about what happens, Yahar Val Yavar, if a person doesn't live up to it, if a person does the Avera, what's his status? We talked about also this last case of where you don't have to do it. Is there room to be machmer? I'd like to just end with one, I believe, appropriate story. Recently there was Nifter, this past summer. It's actually a Jew that I knew. This was Shimon Siegel. He was the executive director of the Shiva Torah Semes Kamenetz in Brooklyn for many, many years. As a teenager, he was in the Kovna Ghetto. He was one of the last people to see Elchanan Wasserman and the others alive before they were killed by the Nazis. And he tells a fascinating story. It's brought in many places, amongst other people, I'm sure, were other witnesses too. That the Jews knew that they would be rounded up and killed over there. It was the 9th Fort in Lithuania. And they knew they only had, you know, an hour or so to live. These Jews gather together. What do? You know, imagine, you know, the scene. Like, you know the writing's on the wall. You know they're rounding you up. And you have an hour left. What does a Jew do in such a situation? So this group, there were yeshiva students, there were others. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman gave them a shir, perhaps in these halachos, of Kiddush Hashem, of dying al Kiddush Hashem. And Rav Ram Gudinsky, the Mashgiach in Slobodka, gave him a Musa Shmuz, an ethical discourse, inspiration for what it means to die al Kiddush Hashem. That depicts a Jew. We study these halachas of, you know, we say the words in Kriya Shema every day, Cholavavcha v'chol nafshecha, but, you know, we're ready to give up our lives. We don't necessarily want that situation. Not necessarily on the Madriga of Rabbi Akiva that looked forward to it every day. But it's something, a Jew lives his life, al pi halacha. And these Jews, in face with the ultimate sacrifice, the moments before they're dying, they're relearning and studying and freshening themselves with what the Torah dictates, what should they do in such a situation. And that's how they went to their death, to die, al kiddush Hashem. The Torah should be a schus for all their neshamas. Thank you.